We are going to look together in the book of Joshua at Joshua chapter 14. It's on page 161 in the Pew Bible, and if you want to turn there and join me, we'll read most of the chapter. It's a short chapter, and we're thinking this morning about a passion for God as we continue looking in our series in the book of Joshua. So let's stand together as we honor God's word and read it together, page 161 in the Pew Bible. And Joshua 14 and verse 1 says, "Now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritance were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest. For the sons of Joseph had become two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Amalekites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron became or belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly." Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that you would touch and encourage our hearts through it and by the work of your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Please be seated. And as I said earlier, it is nice to be back and to be home with you all. I want to give you commendation. On the 1st of July, I brought my Irish relatives to church, and you visited with them a little bit, and so thank you for doing that. On the 8th of July, we took them to another church, which shall remain nameless. And on the way home, I heard this little voice from the back seat say, "I like your church better." So if you could just do this and give yourselves a little pat on the back, that would be good. Okay. For time's sake, let me hasten to think about a passion for God. And we're thinking about this man whose name is Caleb this morning from our text here in chapter 14. Because as you look at Caleb, it answers some questions for us. What does a passion for God look like? And you see a couple of times in the text it says that he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And I want you just, in our moments this morning, to hang on to that word, wholeheartedly. As we think about our days and times, you know, sometimes people think Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really all in, you know. I'm sure I'm going to heaven, and that's really all I need. But the problem is you miss so much of the blessing of God without being all in. And sometimes people would say to me, John, do you think it's really worth it? Like, you've sort of dedicated your life to following Christ, and there must be tough times there. Is it really going to be worth it? And I think this man, Caleb, answers that question for us so well. Because as you look at him, you see 85 years of life, and you see the faithfulness of God all the way through it. And I'm so blessed when I look here in the 14th chapter and see the things that Scripture speaks to us about. So let me first zero in on the character of Caleb, one who has a passion for God. And that when you think about character, what are the traits that you see in character? And Alex did a great job on the overheads, as always. He's got words like inspiration and power and vision and teamwork and all those things that we see in a character of someone who's surrendered to the Lord. And as I think about Caleb, I think about the fact that every time you read about him in Scripture, and I'll give you a couple of other references, although for time's sake, I won't go there, but Numbers 32, verse 12 says that he wholeheartedly followed the Lord and would enter into the inheritance where others would not. And Deuteronomy 1:36 says almost the same thing. So when I think about Caleb, I think about a man who wholeheartedly follows Christ, who makes that investment of his life following after the Lord. And we see there's never a complaint. Say, don't you think when year 30 came along, you would tend to look at your watch and say, Lord, 30 years ago, you promised me. Don't you think that as it was coming up on 40 years, you might be saying, Lord, I waited so long for this. When are you going to come through for me? But you don't find any of that as you look at Caleb. You find this sweet, cheerful passion. He says, I follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And you know, the truth is, he knew that God would come through, but he had his eyes on God, not just on the gift that God was going to give him. And there's a marvelous lesson for you and I in that, because so often we think about, well, yeah, obedience brings blessings. Yeah, great. What are the blessings going to be? But for Caleb, the blessing was that wholeheartedly he was following someone. Wholeheartedly I followed the Lord. You know, when you look at character, this trait is so amazing, isn't it? That cheerful passion that comes out of a right heart attitude that says, who cares what's going on? I'm just following you, Lord. Wow. It reminds me of a man that I knew and loved. He's in heaven with Jesus now. T.W. Wilson. Ever heard of him? How many of you have ever heard of Billy Graham? Oh, now I see those hands. Yeah. Well, T.W. Wilson was Billy Graham's private secretary. He was a wonderful preacher, but he set that aside just to serve. And I said to him one day when we were in conversation, T.W., it must be interesting and exciting to be Billy's private guy who's there all the time. But it must also have its challenges. And he said, you know, John, sometimes I don't get too many minutes. Once I got a call from Billy that said, T.W., we're leaving in 20 minutes. We're going to Russia. Pick you up on the way down the hill. But I never saw him without this cheerfulness, that sense of passion for God. What will God do? And he didn't care who got the credit. You never find Caleb saying, "How come Joshua got to be the boss? I was there too, you know. I was one of those two that didn't give up on things." And you see, when the heart attitude is right, God gets the glory. And that's what we see in the life of Caleb as we think about a passion for God. And we see, that he is a voice for stability. He's saying, God told me this, and I'm just following through on what God told me. How wonderful. Judah is saying, they approach Joshua, as verse 6 says, in Gilgal, and you know that the Lord said this 45 years before. Wow. Never lost sight of it. And I find, as I think about this man with a passion for God, he is so encouraging. He demonstrates for you and me that as we follow the Lord, God is always there, and he is ever faithful. Don't you and I need people who come along with just a word of encouragement at the right time and place? You know, I prayed for a guy a few minutes ago, and he's just walked into the back of the service there. Levi, good to see you, man. God bless you. As we think about a word of encouragement, have you ever felt like you're in trouble? And it didn't matter where you turned, it looked like the trouble was going to overwhelm you. I was leading in a crusade for Billy Graham in the setup in a city, and nothing was going right. And the finances were going terribly wrong. And I knew I was in trouble because I had set up a special prayer walk. And the president of the Billy Graham Association was coming to speak at it. And I knew, because we always assume these things, that the first question he would ask me as a crusade director is, "How are the finances going, John?" When I picked up Dr. John Quartz at the airport, we went over to the hotel where he was staying, and I thought, as soon as I set his bag down in the room, he's going to ask me that question. And I thought, I'm going to beat him to it. So when we went into the room and I set the bag down, I said, "I'm a little worried, Dr. Quartz, about the finances." You know what he said? "Ah, John, don't worry about the finances, man. Did God call us here?" "Yes, sir." "Is this thing God's?" "Yes, sir." "Well, why are you worried about it?" And I thought, this is the big shot. I thought he'd give me my pink slip or whatever color it was in those days. I think Caleb was a man like that, a man who had a passion for God and who knew his God so well, a man of faith. And when we take a stand by faith, it's amazing how it affects others. Have you noticed that? If you're sitting in a room and something needs to be said and nobody says it, we all sort of sit like this. But as soon as somebody says, "Well, it's like a man called George Bainton that I knew years ago," and no matter what the conversation was going, he would just say, "Well, I'm a Christian, and this is what I think." Ooh, all of a sudden, I felt like, well, I'm a Christian too, and I could say something about that. You see? That passion for God flows right out of a heart that is following him and steadfast upon him. Second thing we want to think about as we think about a passion for God this morning is commitment. Yeah, there's a word we use a lot, don't we? Commitment. Faithfulness. Constant. Time did not change the passion that Caleb had for God. 45 years since he received the promise of God. And he says in this text that his strength is still the same at 85 as it was at 45. So let's do a little test this morning. How many of us would say our strength is just as good as it was 45 years ago? Shay, you can't. You're right. Hasn't hit 45 yet. So those 45 and above. What happens so often is our strength diminishes over the years. But here is a man with a passion for God, and his strength has remained the same. You know, when I think about commitment, though, I do think about this young man. You know, he's on holidays. Who on their holidays would come to work and lead the worship? Amazing. Thank you, sir. Commitment flows out of that sense of passion for God. He has the same forward-moving attitude, the same faith to believe God at 85 as he did at 45. And he has the same wholehearted obedience. I think I was 6 years old when I started to attend Sunday school. And I went to a little country Sunday school in Northern Ireland, in a place called Ashfield. And the man who ran the Sunday school, his name was Mr. Poots. And I thought he was from the 1800s, or maybe the 1700s. He had a collar that was stiff and starched and a bow thing around it, you know, and looked like pictures I had seen in history books. But the strange thing about Mr. Poots that sticks in my mind is he was so committed to sharing Christ with children. He was so committed, and his passion for God was obvious. There were times when he would quote a verse and just the tears would start to run down his cheeks. Maybe that's where I got it from. I don't know. But I do know this. I can trace at least three lifetime pastors from Mr. Poots' Sunday school because he had a passion for God and a commitment to communicate that love and that passion to others, boys and girls. Dear church, we're in the midst of VBS season and five-day clubs and all those things, and I hope you're praying for kids, because I'm believing that somewhere amongst those kids there's another Billy Graham or two or 100 or whatever. God grant us the passion to communicate the love of God in a powerful way. Caleb had that sense of obedience. He knew that God had given him this promise, and he knew that it needed to be fulfilled in his lifetime. Irv Brenner and I were talking a couple of minutes before the service, and he mentioned his brother from Brainerd, Minnesota. Brainerd, Minnesota is named after David Brainerd. He was a missionary to the indigenous peoples in that area. It is said that when he went to pray, he went out into the snow in the bush and got down on his knees and began to pray. And people said they knew that where Brainerd had prayed, because the snow had melted for several feet around him, because the love of God just flowed through him. He's a man who brought revival to those peoples in his day. And he said this, "I would rather win one poor lost soul for God than win a mountain of gold for myself." Now that's a passion. In our kind of culture and society, that's a real passion for God. So as we think about Caleb, we see the character of him unpackages wonderfully this passion. We see his commitment shows that passion outflowing. But let's think about a third thing before we go out to enjoy this beautiful Sunday. There is also a conquest. When you think about a passion for God, there is always going to be a conquest. Jesus said in John 16 in the very last verse, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Caleb knew about conquest. He had been a soldier all of those 45 years. And I love here in this text, in the NIV, it simply says in verse 12, "Now give me this hill country." In some other versions, it says, "Give me this mountain." And the text says that Joshua gave him Hebron. Hebron means fellowship. He gave him that part of the country called fellowship to a man who knew what it was to have true fellowship with God and to walk with him. You know, I think about the conquest at 85. Caleb might have been inclined to say, "Getting a bit long in the tooth for this stuff. Can't run quite as fast as I used to. Got to find a young guy. He'll take the mountain." Isn't that what we do? But you see, as long as God gives us breath, He gives us His call to serve Him all the way, wholeheartedly. So let me ask you, and you know I always tell you when I'm going to stop preaching and start interfering. This is that moment. Okay. What's your mountain this morning? You see, there are things that nobody knows in all of our lives, aren't there? There are times of failure. Oh, that mountain. There are times of defeat. That mountain. Times when finances don't go. You need John Courts to come and say, "Don't worry about the money." What's your mountain? Depression? Family? Discouragement? Low self-worth? Recurring sin? That one that just keeps coming back and back and back? And it reminds me of our former chancellor at Briarcrest, Dr. Henry Hildebrand, told us as pastors one day, he said, "Sometimes you get a backhanded compliment." He said, a student came to him and said, "Dr. Hildebrand, I'm having a problem with a recurring sin." And he said to the student, "Well, go and talk to your supervisor, your teacher about it." And the student said, "Oh, Dr. Hildebrand, he is such a holy man. I don't think he'd understand this recurring sin. But you, Dr. Hildebrand..." It's kind of a backhanded compliment, isn't it? Listen. The way to victory comes through a restored passion for God, when nothing else takes the place of love that belongs to Him, and when our eyes are following Him and Him alone. God gave Caleb long life, continued opportunity to serve and to follow, and a great victory even at 85. Now, I don't get in my mind's eye. I know I got an Irish imagination, but I don't get this thought that Caleb kind of quietly strolled up that hill country and thought, "Yeah, got to do this." Oh. No, I think he went up that hill with every ounce of energy that God would give him. And I think he knew that God had given it to him already. You see, here's the real thing and the real issue. There are so many who say, I belong to Christ, and he has given you freedom, and he has brought us healing through his atonement, and he has given us so much, but we do not appropriate it. Caleb still had to go up the mountain. He still had to take it. He still had to make it his own. And dear friends, you and I need to do the same thing of Jesus and of the power that is in him and of the glory that belongs to him. Sorry, I got Irish. Even at 85, I have a brother in the Lord, an Alliance pastor who's now an Alliance chaplain in Edmonton. He has a twin brother. They were watching Billy Graham on television in Toronto, and they both went forward to the television and put their hands on it and prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Christ to be their Savior. And Billy Graham said, now you need to find a Bible preaching church and go to it and get involved and go every Sunday and pray every day and read your Bible every day, the same as he always did at the end of a service. And the two brothers looked at each other in Toronto and said, there's no church around here like that. See, they'd been there for years, but nobody from the local churches ever stopped by. Nobody ever invited them to a service. Nobody ever told them they were a sinner. Nobody ever said, you need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. So the crusade was from Australia. So guess what the twin brothers did? They loaded themselves onto a plane and flew to Australia to find a church like what Billy Graham was talking about. And when they got there, they weren't there too many days till they discovered, you know what? What's in this wallet isn't going to last that long. We need to get ourselves a job. And they looked in the newspaper, and there's an advertisement that says, Christian gentleman seeking a couple to look after home and him. And they looked at each other and said, well, we're a couple. That Christian gentleman had moved into an old folks' home. And God told him, I want you to go back to your house for 1 year and hire a couple to look after you. And these two Canadian boys showed up, and for 1 year, he discipled them. He taught them about Jesus. He taught them how to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. So one brother is a professor in Tyndale Christian University today. And the other one, for almost as many years as me, has been an Alliance pastor and now chaplain. You see, this thing of wholeheartedly following, it doesn't just stop when we hit any certain number. But you see, sometimes we hold back, or we walk in partial obedience and partial unbelief. Caleb had to appropriate that land. He had to get out there and take it. And dear friend, you and I must do the same thing in our day. We must lay hold of every promise that Christ has given us and live it out and work it in. And I'll tell you what, if you and I can do that, surrendered to the Holy Spirit, we'll end up like what Henry Martini said. Somebody said, when you go to India, why do you think anyone will come and listen to you and what you have to say? And he simply said, I'm going to burn for Jesus and people will come to see the flames. Oh, how our world needs those who wholeheartedly follow the Lord. So it's time I quit, because I don't get paid for overtime. Listen. before we sing this wonderful hymn and conclude our service. Is this a moment when you and I need to come before the Lord and say, "Oh God, I recognize that I've not always wholeheartedly followed you. I recognize that Caleb could say that, Lord, and I want to be able to say that." So let's just bow our heads and come before the Lord quietly. And in the quietness of this beautiful sanctuary, may you and I not say to him today, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I've not wholeheartedly always served. Father, forgive me. I want to be able to take those mountains in my life, that hill country that overcomes me. So, dear Lord, would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and through the strength of your word and your promise to me today, just as you promised Caleb 45 years earlier, so you've given us many great and precious promises. Lord, we want to embrace your promises and stand upon them and walk with you. Grant us the grace to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name.